Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Many wire magazine. Today's festivities of September 1975. Today we're interviewing Calvin Isaac, our new faculty. Calvin, what was your first reaction to being our new faculty?
Well, my first reaction was one of joy because this was my first jump into politics, and I really wasn't sure whether I would be elected or not, but I had hope that I would. So when I finally got the official word that I had been elected chief, and my first reaction was that it was one of joy. And it was a compliment, I think, to the grassroots people, because they're the ones who elected me.
How did you get involved?
Well, it's a long story. When I was younger, I wanted to get involved in politics, but at the time I first thought of it, I was a bit young to even run for the council. But I felt then that there would come a time when I would become of age and would be able to place my name in as a candidate for one of the positions. As it turned out, I did not run for the council as such, but when the opportunity came for me to run as a candidate for the tribal chief, I felt this was the time to do it, and I jumped into it.
And now, as being a tribal chief, what are some of the things, some programs for the next 4 years?
Well, as you know, I'm an educator by profession, and education is my first field. I like to do some things in education that I wasn't able to do in the time that I served as classroom teacher or short class principal and so on. I would like to see more and more of our young people go into colleges and vocational training to develop skills that are marketable. I would also like to see a community college established here on the reservation. I would like to see more and more of our adults go into some form of education, thereby getting skills for use in the various employment areas. So education is a top priority in my administration. I also look at economic development as another area where we need to go after industries. And I think at this point we have really established some contacts that will in time, I think, bring about industry for our people on the reservation. I would also like to see more and more people employed in the local area. Even though we do have some, I think that the employment rate for our people is rather low. I'd like to see more and more of our people get employment in the local industries, not only with the tribe, but with the other public sector. So these are main areas that I'm looking at. There's education is first, then followed by economic development and employment opportunities for our people.
Education is your first, what would your feeling toward contracting
school? As the Indian people become knowledgeable in education roles, I think that the Indian people should run its own school system, whether this is by contract or whatever. I think that the Indian people should have the final say so to what they want in the schools. And if this is the route that the Indian people want to take, then I'm ready to go to bat for them.
You said you would like to college, or in college or something like that? Community college. We don't have that now, do we?
No, we don't.
So where would it be located at?
Well, we could make use of the facilities we have already. See, we really don't have to have new buildings for this kind of setting. The community college concept is a concept where existing facilities could be used, as well as existing faculties could be used. So these are areas that we can look into, and we're already looking into it, hoping that in time we could bring about this kind of thing. It'll be a lot easier for the people instead of going to a Meridian Junior College or to Mississippi State campus for night classes and so on. We could have these right on campus here, and just bring in the instructors to teach within the school setting. I think it's a beautiful concept. I think that we have the capabilities here just to make better use of the facilities we have. Right.
Thursday is going to change to a new Thursday. What about the new building? How do you think about the new hospital being built?
Yes, this is called the Choctaw Health Center or Health Facility, because it will be more than a hospital. It will be a preventive type of health delivery system, as well as a facility for people who are ill to stay in, which we normally refer to as a hospital. So I think the concept is good. I think that we have health programs already within the tribe that we could utilize to bring about preventive kind of thing. Instead of people getting sick and going to the hospital, we can, I think, prevent some of these illnesses by making use of these programs that we have.
Let me see, can any other Indians come here if they get sick or something?
If they're Indians and are serviced by a service unit in any part of the country, they're eligible for services, provided they're serviced by the federal government.
What about the what are they going to do with that new the old hospital?
We're looking at several possibilities, and one of the stronger ones that I think, and not one that I agree with, is to develop that old hospital into a training facility. And this training facility could be used by schools, could be used by travel groups, it could be used by even United Southeastern tribes for training purposes. Conferences and workshops could be held there too. So we're looking at the facility as maybe a training facility for our people.
When are they going to move into the new hospital?
The opening date is January 1st, 76.
Are there going to be some new staff coming in? Or?
Yes, we'll retain what we have at the old school, old hospital, but we're also adding 50 new positions. These will be any position from janitorial aide on into nurses and doctors, professional as well as paraprofessional.
How many patients can they have in a clinic?
Well, a clinic could handle almost any number, but the hospital proper would be about 40 beds in there.
What about the new travel building? When is it going to be ready?
We want to move into it October 1st, and the contractor tells us that it'll be ready October 1st. So around October 1st, we'll move all of administration in this building into that new building. Then this building here will be utilized by other departments of the travel government. By administration, I mean my office, plus my secretaries, the personnel office, the finance office, and bookkeeping office. We'll have the communications branch. We'll also have property and supply. We'll have the administrative assistant. We'll have the office for the vice chief. And these will all be in the front part. The back will be unfinished because we are looking at various possibilities for use of the back portion. One I'm thinking of is a library, a public library for the adults, and maybe some for the juveniles also. But there is a need for a public library here on the reservation for people who do night classes, who need to do research after working hours and so on. They need a place where they can study, where they can do some reference materials for research. So that's a strong possibility I'm looking at. Also on this end of the back part, I want to develop an arts and crafts museum type building. And we have two large rooms there that are unfinished. And hopefully we can develop these into either a library or arts and crafts shop. Right in the middle would be a tribal council room also. So hopefully around October 1st we'll be moving there. And on the 14th of October we want to have an open house for the facility so that people who wish to walk through and see what we have can do so. So our open house is tentatively planned for October 14th. We'd like to welcome all of the students, from Choctaw Central area to come and visit us at that time.
Let me see, what other new buildings are you considering building, and what purpose are they for?
Mm-hmm. I think as far as new office buildings, this is about where it will be. There is talk now in a long-range plan that we would have an office building built and then leased to the Bureau for a chopper agency, which will be next to the Travel Administration Building in the Lower Valley there. And that's in the long-range plan, but I don't know how soon that's going to be. It will depend on the funding that's available. So as far as office space, I think we have about what we would need at this point.
And so what about some other buildings being offices or something? Like a new home for...
Yes, we have a congregate house for the elderly that's being developed right behind the new hospital. It will house about 14 elderly couples. And it's a beautiful plan that we looked at, and the drawing was also beautiful. The housing authority will have its office there, and also the people will stay in there, have cafeteria style food for them, even as, you know, as they needed late service for them. But this will be permanent for the elderly. Now, this is not a nursing home. The housing for the elderly is just that. It would be a house for the elderly. Nursing home we would not be covering. It would be within the hospital setting itself. Then the usual housing project will continue. We have 75 already in the books for this fall, and next year we have 200 more planned. So we'll have, after we get through the 200 houses, I think we'll have adequate housing for our Indian people.
Can you comment on the employment of the Choctaw people?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, the employment picture is really bleak for our people. What few programs we operate here at the tribal level is what most people use as their employment. And there are times, when these funds are not available. When this happens, we face unemployment with a larger number of people. But we have just been funded for the Title I, Title II, Title III, and Title VI CEDA funds. So we'll be back in operation on those funds, hopefully within the next week.
Do these programs, offer skill or, kind of a skill job to sometimes go out of a, reservation or something we got?
Yes, the CEDA program, as we refer to it, is by title of Comprehensive Employment and Training Act. So the act itself specifies that whatever program we develop should be used as a skills training kind of thing for these people. So once they go get out of the program, they'll be able to go into permanent employment with public or whatever agencies.
How should a young Choctaw get involved in Choctaw affairs?
I'm glad you asked that question, because at the last community meeting we had, as I recall, no Choctaw youth attending the meeting. And this was one of the meetings where I think a lot of knowledge and information can be gained by any person. I was at the last community meeting for this community, and several questions were discussed, several problems were discussed. Recreation was discussed, education was discussed, employment was discussed, problems with schools were discussed. So these are things that if, a young person attended these meetings, they could hear quite a bit about what's going on in the community. So I would say involvement in the community clubs would be a good step. Also, another area would be to attend our council meetings that we have periodically. Our next council meeting coming up is October 14th. And this is an open council meeting. The only closed meetings we have, as far as the council is concerned, is in matters that are relative to personnel matters. So far, though, we have not had any personnel matters to come before the council, and all of our meetings have been open. Anyone who wants to attend is welcome to attend these council meetings. And then for additional information or knowledge that you want to gain from any program, we'd welcome a person to come in and just visit with the program people, your program directors or whatever. Just come on in and visit with them. Ask them their various questions you might have about the programs. So there are many ways of getting involved in the things that are going on in the software reservation. You can attend meetings, you can have individual conferences, whatever.
When will the industrial park conference get started?
Well, it's been there for about 4 or 5 years, and we really haven't found an industry to come in. We're not right now looking at a couple of industries. One looks favorable, but again, it will depend on how the council reacts to these proposals. The one we're looking at right now is on prefab industry for the industrial complex. This industry would manufacture prefab housing products. So I don't know how we'll go on that, but that particular one is rather favorable. We're always looking for an industry that might be, you know, ready to move and come down to the reservation.
Naniwai is part of Baikonur. Is the tribe making any plans for 1976, the bicentennial year?
Not at this point, but we are looking at some of the information that's coming down, and we hope to come about with some kind of program for the bicentennial observation. But at this point, we have nothing planned as such.
You talked about the art and craft. You're really involved, kind of worried about the heritage and all the cultural of the Choctaw people.
Yes, I've been concerned about the culture of our people. Because in my earlier discussions with people, it was mentioned to me that the arts and crafts of our people are dying, that the ones who are involved in at this point are elderly people. And once these elders leave us, who is there to carry on these kind of things? And based on that, we want to revive the arts and crafts of our people. I also want to retain some of the traditions of our people, because this is something that we have that we should be proud of. And I think one way for us to do that would be to get programs in that relate to this kind of thing, and maybe bring in some other Indian groups that have their heritage. In this way, we could look at some of the things that Indian people have, also gain from them as to how they retained some of these things that are slowly dying out for our people. So arts and crafts is an area that I'd like to see revived, as well as some of our dances, our Indian music, our Indian art. These things I think we need to revive.
Do you think the school would bring back the Indian culture, like they taught the Choctaw people how to sing, keep their own cultural chant and all? Because this year they don't have any more.
I wish they would. I wish they would. I thought, that the school was carrying on with that particular chorus. But if not, then we should.
Would you like to see the arts and crafts being taught in school?
It could be, but I think we might run into a problem on the credits or units for the students. It could probably be, given as an elective or an extra curricular, but not for credit. I think once the students are given an opportunity, I think they might take advantage of it. And this way, we would revive the class.
What do you think it all begins with, the elderly or with to retain the cultural heritage?
It has to come from the elderly. They're the ones who know. And I think we need to respect our elders to a point where we need to learn from them. They may not be educated as such, but I think they have a lot of knowledge that we can gain from them. And this applies to the arts and crafts area. They're the ones who do it. They're the ones who retained it from their elders. And once they're gone, I think they're going to be gone. I think they have a lot to offer us.
Would you consider building a big museum or something or another, something to, you know, set some things in some area or something?
Yes, in the long-range plan, we have plans for a museum which will be built in connection with the reservoir program. You know, the reservoir is being planned within the next 5 years. And out of this reservoir would be the tourist trade areas. We'll have some tourist merchandise that should be sold near the reservation, on near the reservoir, and so on. So along with that, we do have long-range plans for a museum, which will house all of the old artifacts we might have by the Indian people. Also, an art and craft shop to build within.
The reservoir, is it for just recreation or economic?
Well, we look at it both. The reservoir can be a recreation for our people, and we have the southern edge of the reservoir that bounds on our reservation. So we'll have access to that, and hopefully, you know, there's no cost to us. And then there'll be economics in areas where the tourists would come in. We'll probably charge them a fee to make use of the reservoir. So we're looking at it from both ends.
What are some of the major problems with the Dakota people in the area for holding down?
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think one of our main problems, and I hate to say it because I'm talking to myself, but the fact is that we have problems with alcohol. It is, I think, one of the things that keep us behind our back. People have problems with their employment because of some alcohol-related problem. When we look at the figures for people who are working, most of our absentees occur on Mondays and Fridays. On Mondays because of the hangover that may be occurring over the weekend. Or maybe people have been out all weekend and now just taking a rest on Monday. And our figures show that we do have that problem. And also a Friday after payday is also another high day for absentees. So these tell me that people really aren't concerned about their particular job. I think they're more concerned about what their immediate satisfaction would be. And this happens to relate to alcohol. So I'd say the major problem we have on the reservation is the use of alcohol or misuse of alcohol.
Do you think the alcohol involves students too?
I think so. Again, I don't have statistics on that, but I think if it really went down to the basic reason for student absenteeism, we might find that this is true. Again, though, it all goes back to the home. If you have a good home, then more likely, you know, this problem wouldn't exist. But we do have homes that aren't that secure. Most homes, maybe I should say, I shouldn't say most, I probably should say some homes, you know, have both parents drinking. The children are left pretty much on their own. When this happens, you know that the problems of the students will be reflected in the school.
Is there any program or anything that kind of helping the alcoholic or something?
Yes. We have what we call the Alcoholism and Mental Health Program operated by the tribe here. But again, this is more involuntary, so I'm not so sure we're really catching or getting to the people who need these services because our programs are voluntary. We could not force them to take advantage of these programs, even though we have them. But when a person comes in and is referred, then we have a program that will help them. We even have, you know, programs from the state mental health groups that are free to us. And we can make use of these at Weems Mental Health Center in Meridian is one of them.
What do they do with the little kids, little children, and then if their parents are really, you know, if they don't stay home a lot or just leave them behind, you know, to look at everything, what do they do?
We have just started a child abuse program with the tribe here. It's about a month old now. We're still looking for a director. But that program is designed to bring about a team of professionals who would consult with the parents after, you know, the child abuse has been reported, investigations are made, then the professional team would come and confer with the parents as to what's best for the child. So along with the parents, they would decide as to where the children would go. Most of the time it would probably be to a foster home where better care could be taken care of for the children. But these are areas that we're just not going into, and the professional team concept, I think, is a sound concept. Heretofore, you know, we've been, or, you know, the social services would be the one to have the responsibility for finding out where these children should be placed. But now we have a team to confer and also to concur on where these children should go.
Can you tell us more about the Indian housing? How does the doctor go about getting on or off the reservation? Housing aid for housing.
Okay, the tribe operates a housing project under the auspices of the Chokta Housing Authority. What we usually do is that the person who wants to rent or lease a house would apply to the Chokta Housing Authority. Based on an application, the Housing Authority determines who gets what house, because it depends on whether it's a two-bedroom or three-bedroom, whatever. So the Housing Authority is the one that determines who gets what house. We have the low-rent housing, as well as the housing improvement program for our people. The low-rent housing goes to those people who are within a certain income. And then the housing improvement program are based primarily on the individual taking care of its own home, doing some part of it, and then just paying the great rent on it.
Are there any restrictions for non-Indians to handle this on the reservation?
Not at this point. At one time, I think that they did require that they obtain hunting and fishing licenses, you know, to hunt and fish on the reservation lands. But I'm not sure at this point whether that's enforced, because there was some question about that. The question, I think, was who does the enforcing? And the enforcement does not go to law and order. The enforcement has to go to the State Game and Fish Commission. So the question there, I think, is still there, that who does it, even though we may require a person to have a hunting and fishing license, we really can't enforce that with our local law and order. The State Game and Fish Commission is the one that has to enforce it. And there's been a question of jurisdiction.
What's your major goal for the tribe for the next 4 years?
For the next 3.5 years, just like I mentioned earlier, I'd like to bring in the education level at least to the national average, which is 8th grade level. And this can be done only through the students remaining in school, finishing as high a grade as they can. It also involves upgrading our adults who are already out of school, but yet can go back and get an equivalent of a high school education through the GED. And then for those that are in colleges, we'd like to bring them on through colleges and universities so that they will upgrade on an education level. So that is an area that I'm looking at, because without education we really can't do much. I feel that strongly. And my main thrust will be to education.
The college, community college, is it going to be just for Indians?
No, when we get funding for that, it will have to be open to anyone. And I like the idea of open to anyone. Because after you know, a person has been through high school, they want to go into additional courses or whatever, it should be open to anyone.
Do you have any comments on chapter and local non-Indian relationship?
Yes. The relationship between the local Indians and the local non-Indians, I think, has improved considerably in the years that I've been here. In the 60s, the relationship was not good, because, again, the desegregation move that was going on, and the local people were opposed to the idea that the federal government was encroaching upon them. And because of the 60s, weren't doing much of anything. But since then, I think the attitude of people has changed. I think that people now look at each other as people. There are some areas I think we still need to improve. That is in the employment area for the local town. We do not have Indians working within those stores there in town. But I think in time this will come. We look at the Chamber of Commerce as a means of bringing about this change. And this can be accomplished, because about 3 years ago, I worked with the Chamber of Commerce in providing job opportunities for the Choctaw Indian youth. We had about 27 students, high school age, to work in town that summer. And I think this is an area that we can go into yet. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to do this. And I know it's possible, because the Chamber of Commerce has been in touch with me and wanting to get closer working relationship with them. I think that this is coming. We will change.
Do you have any comments on any subjects? You know.
Yes, I have one that I like to tell about every time I get a chance, and that is to talk about our Indian people. I find in my travels through the state that people here in the state know that there are Indians in Mississippi. In my visits to the Delta area and to central Mississippi and to the Gulf Coast, people are wanting more and more information about our Indian people, because we're now in the limelight. People have now found that there are Indians in this city, and now they're trying to get close to the Indian situation. Just like 2 weeks ago, when the bilingual requirement on voting came for Neshoba County, the AP writer from Jackson called, and the first thing he said was, "I didn't know there were Indians in Mississippi." So this, I think, told us that we do have a lot of public relations work to be done here in the state, to tell them that we are Indians here, that we do have our heritage, we do have our reservation here, and I think more and more we need to tell them about what we operate here, the programs we have, and so on. So there's a lot of public relations we need to do, even within our state. Also nationally, as I go to national meetings, people are surprised that I come from a tribe, a lone tribe in Mississippi. And they always tell me that they didn't know that there were Indians living here, as pure as the Choctaw Indian people. So this, I think, tells us that we do need to go and tell our story to other people in the country.
How do you feel about the Nine White magazine? Yes,
I have positive thinking on the Warrior magazine, because as I mentioned earlier, I don't know about you or someone else, that we started the first paper for the Pearl River School at the time I was going to school here, and this was in the dark ages, but we started it with the idea that we would tell something about our people, about our legends. And somehow the scoop never did go off. It died down, I think, after a while. But that was the first editor of that myth with the thinking behind it when we started. But we retain those legends, those stories that we know about our people, and let it reflect in the paper so people would know about it, our students would know about it. So I like the idea. I think that it's something that once it's printed, it'll be here. We can preserve it for future generations. So I think it's up to the Zanawaya staff to do a good job and to keep at least a couple of copies preserved somewhere so in years to come, people can look at it and know the kind of work we did, and also they'll know about our heritage.
Zanawaya is part of the bicentennial. The tribe can use it as part of the bicentennial.
Yes, we'd like to. Mm-hmm. Very good. We'll do that.
Do you have any more comments?
No, I don't, except that I always like to be interviewed. I like people to come and ask me about things because they'll give me some more information as to what all I need to read up on and get briefed on and so on. And I've enjoyed this visit with you.
Okay. Thank you very much.